Blog Talk Radio.
Protests and growing national outcry continue over the death of George Floyd.
Last night, people protesting in Minneapolis escalated as demonstrators were lashed by tear gas and rubber bullets.
The main message here.
The main message here
is that they want to see those officers involved.
They want to see those officers arrested.
Trade my 4x4 for a DC-3, ain't no more feel of speed. I gave him chance and chance and chance again, I even told him please. I find it crazy the police to shoot you and know that you dead but still tell you to freeze. Fucked up, I seen what I seen, I guess that mean hold him down if he say he can't breathe. It's too many mothers just grieving, they killing us for no reason. Been going on for too long to get even, throw us in cages like dogs and hyenas. I went to court and they sent me to prison, my mama was pissed when they said I can't leave. First I was drunk then I sobered up quick when I heard all that time that they gave to Talib. He got a life sentence plus, we just some products of our environment. How the fuck they gon' blame us? You can't fight fire with fire, I know, but at least we can turn off the flames some. Every color person ain't dumb, and all whites not racist. I be judging by the mind and heart, I ain't really in the face. Fuck up the way that we living, it's not getting better, you gotta know how to survive. Crazy, I had to tell all of my loved ones to carry a gun when they going outside. Stay in the mirror whenever you drive, overprotective, go crazy for mine. You gotta pay attention to the sign, seem like the blind following the blind. Thinking about everything that's going on, I boost security up in my home. I'm with my kind, if they right or they wrong. I call them now, he'll pick up the phone, and it's 5 in the morning, he waking up on it. Tell them wherever I'm at, then they coming. I see blue lights, I get scared and start running. That shit be crazy, they supposed to protect us. Guards and handcuffs and arrest us. Why they go home at night, that shit messed up. Knowing we needed help, they neglect us. One of them who gon' make them respect us. I can see in your eye that you fed up. Fuck around, got my shot, I won't let up. They know that we a problem together. They know that we can storm anywhere. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere, might as well go ahead, start here. We done had a hell of a year, I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear. Fuck it, I'm going on the front line, he gon' bust your ass if you come past that gun line. You know when the storm go away, then the sunshine. Gotta put your head in the game when it's crunch time. I want all my sons to grow up to be monsters, I want all my daughters to show out in public. Seem like we losing our country, but we gotta stand up for something, so this what it comes to. Every video I see on my country, I got power now, I gotta say something. Corrupt the police been the problem where I'm from, but I'll be lying if I said it was all of them. I ain't do this for the trend, I don't follow them. Altercations with the law, had a lot of them. People speaking for the people, I'm proud of them. Stick together, we can get it up out of them. I can't lie like I don't rap about killing and dope, but I'm telling my youngers to vote. I did what I did cause I didn't have no choice and no hope. I was forced to just jump in and go. This bullshit is all that we know, but it's time for a change. Got time to be serious, no time for no gang. Ain't taking no more, let us go from them chains. God bless they soul, every one of them names. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life, it can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere, might as well go ahead, start here. We done had a hell of a year, I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear. They training officers to killers, then shooting protesters with these rubber bullets. They regular people, I know that they feel us. These scars too deep, they heal us. What happened to COVID? Nobody remember, it ain't making sense. I'm just here to vent. It happened to one of your people, it's different. We get it, the system is wicked, just learn how to pick it. Knowledge is power, I swear I'm a witness. I know that I'm gifted, I won't go too deep, cause I'm scared they'll get me. Ain't scared to admit it, some shit I can't mention. It's people who can, well here's the chance. I won't take the stand, but I'll take a stand for what I believe. Must not be breathing the air that I breathe. You know that the way that I bleed, you can breathe. I never been a fan of police, but my neighborhood know I try to keep peace, so it's only right that I get in the streets. March for a reason, I just on GP. How people die for us to be free. Fuck do you mean? This was a dream. Now we got the power that we need to have. They don't want us with it, and that's why they mad. Yeah. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life. It can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere. Might as well go ahead, start here. We done had a hell of a year. I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear. It's bigger than black and white. It's a problem with the whole way of life, it can't change overnight. But we gotta start somewhere, might as well go ahead, start here. We done had a hell of a year, I'ma make it count why I'm here. God is the only man I fear.
I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
I must confess that that dream that I had that day has at many points turned into a nightmare. Now, I'm not one to lose hope. I keep on hoping. I still have faith in the future. But I've had to analyze many things over the last few years, and I would say over the last few months. I've gone through a lot of soul-searching and agonizing moments, and I've come to see that we have many more difficult days ahead, and some of the old optimism was a little superficial, and now it must be tempered with a solid realism. And I think the realistic fact is that we still have a long, long way to go, and that we are involved in a war on Asian soil, which, if not checked and stopped, can poison the very soul of our nation. I'm not going to say that all of our problems will be solved if the war in Vietnam is ended, but I do say that the war makes it infinitely more difficult to deal with these problems. When a nation becomes obsessed with the guns of war, it loses its social perspective, and programs of social uplift suffer. This is just a fact of history, so that we do face many more difficulties as a result of the war. It's much more difficult to really arouse a conscience during a time of war. That is something about a war like this that makes people insensitive. It dulls the conscience. It strengthens the forces of reaction, and it brings into being bitterness and hatred and violence. I think the biggest problem now is that we got our gains over the last 12 years at bargain rate, so to speak. It didn't cost the nation anything. In fact, it helped the economic side of the nation to integrate lunch counters and public accommodations. It didn't cost the nation anything to get the right to vote established. And now we are confronting issues that cannot be solved without costing the nation billions of dollars. Now, I think this is where we're getting our greatest resistance. They may put it on many other things, but we can't get rid of slums and poverty without it costing the nation something. I feel that nonviolence is really the only way that we can follow, because violence is just so self-defeating. A riot ends up creating many more problems for the Negro community than it solves. You can, through violence, burn down a building, but you can't establish justice. You can murder a murderer, but you can't murder through violence. You can murder a hater, but you can't murder hate. And what we are trying to get rid of is hate and injustice and all of these other things that continue the long night of man's inhumanity to man.
When we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
All right, welcome to the Panther Party Radio Network and the Big Picture. This is Melvin Siri Jr. Once again, Monday night, and I'll say it before, if anybody else hadn't said it to you today, happy MLK Day. Those and these are the days that we should be celebrating. Just a couple of weeks ago, you get on social media and everybody was Happy New Year, Happy New Year, Happy New Year. Well, I didn't really get on social media today. I've been trying to wean myself from social media, honestly. But I didn't, and I'm sure there wasn't a lot of happy MLK Day. You know, a lot of us had to work, including myself. The bills don't stop. So, you know, this is just another holiday that them people get to enjoy on a federal level, because they really the only ones that can afford holidays at this particular point. Welcome. Before I get off into a rant, all my listeners online, all my listeners who call in and listen and comment and make the show go smoother, and I do have my in-studio guest again on this show, Miss Tamisha Renee.
Good evening.
And she'll be chiming in during the course of the show. I wanna set the table. This is really something that I feel like I say, we as black men and black women, and we've got to really teach our children and our grandchildren about these types of men. Oh, before I get off into this, let me do one more thing. I want to welcome my listeners that will get this broadcast back, played back on Friday on Activate Media, and also those of you who may be listening online and would like to call in to get in on the discussion. Call in numbers 914-205-5538. Again, that's 914-205-5538. And now, let me go on in. And I feel like I say, these are days that, you know, we shouldn't even have to really wait for this government and this system to give us these holidays. We should make and take these holidays as they come along. Malcolm X, all of our ancestors that have went on to rest after fighting the good fight, Fred Hampton, all of them, we should honor them all. We shouldn't have to wait on this system. And I can remember when this holiday was first put on the table and all the kickback behind it. And then how so many states, especially Arizona, was like just the standout state that didn't accept it as a national holiday. And just let you know, what he was fighting for, that was a prime example of what he was fighting against, you know. And I kind of wanted to, first of all, give him his flowers because they are well deserved. I'm not going to say that I agree with everything that Dr. King said, because we're not ever, I don't think, going to be able to agree, but we can have a meeting point where we have to really put our egos to the side and then just look at the bigger good that can be accomplished by a collective movement as opposed to a deflective movement. And that I feel sometimes impedes our progress, our own deflection, you know, and a downplay of the situations that are happening. And I was listening to some clips really all day while I was rolling, just listening to some of his clips, some of his old speeches, you know, and how passive he was in the beginning, how hopeful he was in the beginning. And then after dealing with this situation for so long and actually traveling north-south and experiencing the same thing. And I remember, And I'm sure that you've all seen the clip where he says, I think it was when he was in Chicago, and he said that that racism was worse than any that he had experienced in the South. And that says a lot, because a lot of us had the misconception that the North was better. You know, it was better North, but really not the case, because, you know, North, South, East, or West, wherever you go, it's still America. And that's what we have to remember, because this whole country is tainted. And like I've said before, and I'm not afraid to say it again, you know, this is a whole shithole country. And Donald Trump tried to say this about other places, but ain't nothing special about this country. But I'm not going to get on that. This episode tonight is about the king. One of our true kings, one of our true warriors. And I really want to touch on, you know, the dream as well as the nightmare that even King himself referred to. You know, he said that he has integrated us into a burning building. And then, I mean, I think that he realized all that we lost, because we lost way more than we gained. We lost 100% of what we owned, pretty much. And as far as businesses, and schools and supermarkets and those types of things that we had, where we could self-sustain and where we could self-teach, which we need to really get back to, but I will get into that as the show progresses. But just how much has the world truly changed since the days of King, and how much has it not? And let's be real, America hasn't changed much since the 60s. I was listening to some of those speeches earlier, and some of the same subject matter that he was talking about is so relevant today, as it is with so many of our, you know, vocal activists back then, Malcolm, Martin, you know, all of them, Hampton, Evers, Angela Davis, you know, the list goes on and on and on. But, you know, they were all speaking the same language, you know, and that's one thing that we have got to get back to. Speaking the same language. And like he said in his speech the night before he was assassinated, he said he wanted to get the language right tonight. And I think that really solidified that whole speech, because by him saying that, it was as if he knew that his demise was, I'm not going to say he knew it was the next day, but his demise was near. And toward the end of his life, those of us who have done our research and really studied King and know him, other than just being, you know, the nonviolent one. He was so much more than that and accomplished a lot. And, you know, here we are over 60 years later, and things haven't changed that much. We need to get back to talking about our collective power and how to use it to our advantage. And that's the thing that King and that era did that we don't do now. We're all we got and all we need, but we need each other as well. And that's something that I say on a regular basis now. So I'm hoping that that's subliminally starting to sink in, that we truly need each other out here. The killings haven't stopped since the days of Martin. The killings have continued. You know, the dream, you know, I mean, and it's a beautiful thought and, you know, hopeful, but really not a place where we were not in a correct place and they did not have the correct tools. We have a lot more to work with than they did. We have so much more that we could put to use and use to our advantage. They had a whole lot of nothing but still managed to have hope and not only that, managed to work together in all 50 states. You know, he reached out that far. You know, he touched that many people. Hated in all 50 states, which is a gimme in America. And now the irony of it is now that America killed him, they love his legacy because they can monetize it. And that's another reason why, you know, I don't really, you know, say, that's why I say we need to just do our holidays the way we need to do them and honor our ancestors and so we can monetize these events for ourselves and use that money within our communities and stop letting this system, you know, come up on our pain. And that's all that this allows them to do is capitalize on it like they do with everything else. Because they have no natural talent of their own or anyway. Also, I would like to talk about the nightmare side of it because that still happens right now to this very day. We're experiencing the nightmare and what has happened since, you know, that iconic speech, you know. So let's really get off into, you know, what it is that we can do to change the day, to try to even the playing field, so to say, you know, and then pick up where, and this is what another thing that I say, that we've had so many blueprints laid for us. So many black prints laid for us by our ancestors, and we've got to just pick them up and revise them and start using them again because they worked then. And just imagine now if we collectively pick up where they left off and rebuild what was broken because we never needed them. We didn't need to integrate into their system. Our systems were just fine and would have been so much more better than their so-called system had they not burned all our little towns down. I got a hand up, so I'm on. And also I got my studio guest as well. So that's all I'm going to say for now. And open up your mic, brother, and I'm going to let the dialogue begin. Welcome. Thank you for calling in.
Peace, brother. You know, I don't need the thanks, man. I'm where I need to be when I need to be there. I think it's a great subject. I'm going to say a couple of things real quick, and then I'm going to shut the fuck up. However, I'm going to start off with Martin Luther King. I don't know if I agree that he deserves the holiday. I do agree that all of those who fought in the struggle need to be respected for their sacrifices. So for me, this day is Stokely Carmichael's day. It's Angela Davis's day. It's Huey Newton's day. There's a lot of people of, you know, Medgar Evers, Fannie Lou Hamer, whole bunch of them can claim this day because what he was doing was something that they were all doing as well at the same time and under a lot of the same danger.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna say if you know his name can be on it, but I feel like it's a day for anybody who ever stood up and tried to let the system know that they had it all wrong and that they might want to work on that before it get ugly. So I'm giving that day to everybody because I feel like even though his dream was his dream, our nightmare was going on then and it still continues. And I have issues with how the president that even put him in, Reagan, didn't even want to give him that. You know, so we have to look at the fact that even in recognizing someone who was nonviolent and all of this, they still had to be pretty much coerced into doing it. And I'm bothered with the fact that we accept the pennies, the little things that they throw at us, and they minimize it while we try to maximize it, but it still stays minimal. There's still states in this country that don't recognize it as a federal holiday. They allow, you know, businesses to decide if they want to close or not. And these are not options that are given to businesses for Christmas, Thanksgiving, things like that. They are required to close holidays. But when it comes to Martin's holiday, it's optional. So I have mixed emotions about the holiday, so to speak. While I appreciate what Martin Luther King wanted for his people, I feel like we celebrate the wrong things. When I look at what Martin Luther King did, he tried to fight for us. At the same time, he cheated on his wife, which meant he was taking time away from his babies and some other stuff. And all of that got proven that he was doing these things. And yet he got celebrated. And then you have a guy like Malcolm X who was doing all of that bad shit. And then he got good. And when he got good, he stayed good. The reason that the FBI wanted to kill him was because they couldn't find nothing on him. So who really deserves the holiday? The person who was promoting change while still doing the dirt? Or the person who was doing dirt, then changed, and then changed.
Yeah,
so
I
still
agree.
Feel like we're being played with, even with this holiday. It's done to placate. It's not really, I don't feel like it's really to celebrate him. It's done to placate. It was done to basically count how Reagan wanted to prove that he wasn't a racist. And all it did was prove to me furthermore how much of a racist he was. So that's the weird part. Now, as far as the nightmare that we live in wasn't created by Martin Luther King and it wasn't made worse by Martin Luther King. However, Martin Luther King was smart enough to realize that the way he had been fighting it, while it got the attention, it didn't get the results.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where his frustration, and plus with them trying to, you know, mess with his family life. And remember, They could have killed Martin Luther King at any time. They could have killed him at any time. But it became more important to smear him to us more than killing. Killing him became an option when he turned against his support of the Vietnam War.
Right.
And when he also decided that he also wanted to look more at the Black Power movement and the strength that he saw that it was generating, and that he was willing to actually take a look at that, that was something that they really didn't want, because they knew he could galvanize a lot of people. And the last thing they wanted, they would rather have you humble and nonviolent than angry and on some by any means necessary shit.
Very right.
Yep.
Well said.
So while I appreciate what he did, I'm not giving him fully the day, because if we were counting on just what he did, then we'd still be getting hit in the head on that bridge.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as far as I'm concerned, while I may not agree with everything that Black Power encases, I'll take the Black Power movement for 200, Alex, and I yield.
Right on.
All right, I gotta let me open up another mic. Hang on, hang out, Brother Kevin. I'm gonna leave your mic open.
Yeah, I'm gonna mute my phone.
Right on. All right, brother, your mic is open.
Hey, this is Brother Ozzy calling. Can you all hear me okay?
Yeah, hear you fine.
Very
good. Okay. Peace and blessings
to
everybody.
It's the first time for me, but yeah, I can hear you great.
I think I got the FBI off my case for one night, so maybe that's what it is, brother. But
Alphabet boys watching. Don't trip.
Oh, I know. I just if I have time, can I just read a quote from Dr. King, and I have to disagree with Brother Kevin a little bit, but I'll get to that. But I just want to read this quote that maybe a lot of people don't hear when we talk about Dr. King. So at this very same time, America refused to give the Negro any land through an act of Congress. The government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and in the Midwest, which meant it willingly to undergird its white peasants from Europe with the economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided country agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself up by his bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington, D.C., and this campaign, we're coming to get our check. That's Martin Luther King. That's weeks before he was assassinated. That's one of the reasons he was assassinated, because he was moving closer to Malcolm and Elijah Muhammad. So, I'm going to give him all the honor to this day, because he was a man who moved the needle. And, I get that he wasn't perfect, but who of us are? Which of any of our leaders are? You can find places to shit on Martin. You can find places to shit on Marcus Garvey. You can find places to shit on Malcolm. But my thing is, these men moved the needle for black people. And even though, you got a lot of people saying that they was on board with what he was doing, and if you take a deep dive into some of the rhetoric that he was speaking, he never told us to be nonviolent. He basically was practicing the same thing that the Black Panthers were practicing, which is individual self-defense. I don't know why people keep pushing this turn the other cheek mess when that's not what he was about. He was about Black empowerment. And along with the other people that Brother Kevin spoke of, they were also about Black empowerment. Unfortunately, we had too many Black people that were comfortable just because they was living up north and not having to, you know, go through the same things as our people in the South, but actually dealing with the same things that the people in the South had to deal with. That was one of the issues of the movement. Even today, we have too many people that are placated by, you know, the comforts of white supremacy, and they're apathetic to, you know, the cause until it lands on their front door, and at some point it will, I promise you.
Mm-hmm.
At some point it will. You can't hide from it. You can't run from it. It's here to stay until we do something about it.
If I could,
so
bro,
I want to
put a pen right there for 1 second. I wanted to make sure that my position was clear, so because you may not disagree with me, but here's what I'm saying. While I appreciate what Martin Luther King did, I don't feel that he moved the needle forward for us. My reason being is because when Malcolm X first wanted to talk with him, he refused to talk with Malcolm X. He didn't want to be connected to anything that seemed too Black nationalist or militant. He was able, he had the ear of the president and some others. So I know he didn't want to damage those relationships. I get it. However, if you can sit down with the president, then you can sit down with other activists as well. And my problem was that, once again, he thought that he was doing this the right way with the nonviolent movement, and that was a great thought. And, yeah, it got the attention, but as my issue was, it did not move us forward. The way I know that it didn't move us forward is because they eventually decided to celebrate him, and they've never celebrated anyone who moved us forward. Harriet Tubman moved the needle more than Martin Luther King, in my opinion. And that's just my opinion. It's not taking nothing from him as an activist. I just feel like he was in the wrong vehicle with the right intentions, but the road that he was on was still being paved. It wasn't already set. And we needed all of them to work together to pave that road for us. That was my issue with it. But I'm not taking nothing from him as a person. And like I said, that day belongs to him too. However, I feel there's others who put, you know, elbow and ass to the wind and did what they needed to do for us as well. And I feel like they deserve to be celebrated as well. That's all. It's not really to take him out, but they all need to be included. That's really my stand on it. And that's really it. I'm going to shut up now. Sorry.
Well, my you know, retort to that is if he was really in the wrong car, then they wouldn't have drove that car off the cliff. And as people, you know, may or may not know, the United States government was found guilty of his assassination. So, you know, my thing is that because, you know, he might have been, he realized at the end that he was going in the wrong direction as far as the way that he was taking our people as far as integration. Because, yes, he wanted integration, but he didn't want us to give up our Blackness. And that's something that people don't talk about. Yes, he wanted us to assimilate into American life, but he didn't want us to give up our Blackness. And we all know that the way he didn't talk to Malcolm, it was political. His advisors were telling him, don't talk to Malcolm or you can't get in front of this white man and speak. They won't listen if you talk to Malcolm. It's not that he personally didn't want to talk to Malcolm. I mean, you got plenty of pictures of him meeting with Malcolm, him meeting with Elijah Muhammad. So my thing is that, you know, Hoover was scared. And we don't hear white people come out talking about Hoover, talking about, oh, he was a crossdresser, he was a faggot. You know, you don't hear people talking about Hoover like that. In white American eyes, Hoover is a great man, period. Nixon is a great man, period. LBJ is a great man, period. Even though he said, I'll have these niggas voting for 100 years for Democrats if I pass this bill. These niggers will be voting for Democrats for 100 years if I get this bill passed. Yeah, he
said. Well, you said something key there, though, and it says a lot. It actually it wins my argument. Then you said something about him wanting us to live the American way, the American life, without giving up our blackness, when the American way of life was totally about us giving up our blackness.
Yeah, 100%.
That's all it was built on. That's why I'm like, we were sold, we were treated like the Native Americans when they were handed a treaty. They don't read. They can't read the language, so the treaty means nothing to them.
Brother, you have to go deep when you read about Martin Luther King, because they only put the whitewashed version out there for us. Of course they're gonna put out the stuff about him cheating on his wife and doing all this and doing all that.
I'm not even mad on that stuff. I'm really not. And I've done some research on King. I appreciate his efforts. I'm not mad at that. What I'm looking at
is when you're giving someone a
holiday and you're celebrating them, then you're celebrating what they try to achieve. And that's, I give him that. He gets all of that with me.
Brother,
I feel
brother,
that there's others deserve that holiday too.
We lived through the time when they was trying to push this holiday, and we saw how many people were against it and how many people didn't want this holiday. And, you know, I get it. The same thing that's going on with MLK's holiday is going to go on with Juneteenth, I guarantee you. And my thing is, a black man, you can't give me no fucking holiday, because I was celebrating it before they even gave me a holiday. I was celebrating Juneteenth before they made it a national holiday. I'm celebrating Dr. Khalid's birthday, which just passed. I'm celebrating Dr. John Henry Clark's birthday. You know, I celebrate... You know, or pay homage to the passing of Dr. Francis Quest Wellesley, which happened on January the 2nd. You know, these are my heroes, and can't nobody give or take them away from me. You know, we celebrate Malcolm X Day every year. We celebrate it. It's not a national holiday, but black people celebrate it. And that's what I mean when I say that he wanted us to be a part of this country. But he wanted us to be set apart, because the reason that they treat us like they do is because we are poor as a society. We're cash poor and we have no power. That's the reason they treat us like we do. And like you said, when he went to Washington, he said, "We coming to get our check. Y'all owe us, indigenous black Americans that were not immigrants." We were brought here forcefully, and we built this country, and they owe us. And they killed him, because when he went to Washington and he had them, you know, all them black people in that crowd, that was a standing
army.
Yeah,
but he didn't even, that wasn't
they,
even
America's
him.
America's afraid of that. America's
that crowd
afraid of
wasn't
that.
Even his crowd. He got he took over that Washington, that day in Washington, but that day in Washington got started by a whole lot of grassroots activists in different parts of the country. That wasn't something where King sent down an edict to everyone and said, hey, we're going to march. That march was already being planned before he even became part of it. Before him or the Southern Christian Leadership Conference even became part of it. They actually got money to become part of it, to help donate to it from the government, so that this way it would be kind of controlled. Because the government didn't know how this was going to play on TV, and it was going to be filmed worldwide. And they already were dealing with all the bad press of seeing the shit going on in Birmingham and all the other things that was going on. So they really didn't need this to get explosive. They needed it controlled. And that's what bothered me about this, was because they allowed themselves to be used to control that. And it became a day that they show every year now. But that day they were afraid. They were afraid of what could happen that day. And what they saw that day was the one thing that scared the shit out of them. Black, we could work together and make something happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they saw that day. That was the biggest takeaway,
well,
and it scared the shit out of them.
I'll leave it right there, brother. And I just feel like, you know, people don't want to, you're not the only one. People don't want to give him the credit that he deserves or the honor that he deserves. I'm always give him honor and give him the credit that he deserves. I'm never going to shit on none of our black leaders, especially in mixed company, when I know people are listening. You know, if I'm black power, I'm black power. And my thing is that I know that all of our leaders are perfect. I know that they had their faults. But my thing is that toward the end of your life, this man was only 39 years old, and he did more at 39 than a lot of people do by the time they're 70 or 80. So I got to give him props on that. And on that, I'll just land my plane.
Right on. Yeah, I think, too, a lot of our leaders, and I think really, like I said, like I was saying earlier, you know, we got to be the ones to give them they props, give them they roses, give them they recognition. We can't, you know, sit back and wait on this system to recognize them. I mean, and that's just like you were saying about the Juneteenth, you know, and I mean, I grew up in Texas, so I mean, Juneteenth was something that we celebrated every year, you know. Hell, that was like the 4th of July, before the 4th of July, you know, where, you know, black folks would get together, do the little parade through the neighborhood and set up grills and, you know, do what we do. And what, now that the system has federally, you know, made it a holiday, well, now they can monetize it, you know, just like they do every holiday. I mean, and even though a lot of people don't, they have the choice to celebrate. Like you brought that fact up, Kevin, and yeah, that's, you know, a fact. You know, they don't have no choice about Killer Columbus Day. You know, that's a day off. You know, you don't get no choices about that. But mm-hmm. you know, that's just the way this system is going to always do when it comes to any of us, that no matter what it is we've done, good or bad. And then, too, like I said earlier, hell, America didn't appreciate them until after they had assassinated them. You know, then they could appreciate them, and then they could recite those quotes and try to capitalize on that situation like they do with so much of our black pain. You know, they try to monetize it and if it's not about, you know, them getting that bottom dollar, really, It ain't about nothing. I mean, and just like with I agree, like I say, with both of y'all, honestly, because I mean, just like I said earlier, we had so many of our ancestors who were taken in the same fashion as Martin. And like I say, yeah, that's why they deserve, if nobody else's, admiration and being able to celebrate them. We should do that in our own ways every year. And then, too, we don't need them to make it national. We can start that push on our own as well. And then, like I say, we can take some of the things that they do as far as the capitalization and at least try to spin that and turn that to work in our favor. Something that we really don't take the time to do is really see what we can do and what working together really would accomplish, you know, what truly working together and putting aside the smaller differences, like I said earlier, when I was just giving my little table setting, you know, back then, a lot of the division was because of what the system did and what the system started doing to divide, you know, certain organizations from this organization and this group. And yeah, the last thing they wanted to see is Martin sitting on a consistent basis talking with Malcolm and Elijah Muhammad. And that's a lot of what I think to change Martin's mind towards the end, was because he was really starting to see America for what it was,
really was,
you know.
Yeah.
And then really just like history has shown us, you know, America is never going to keep a promise. They can write it down, and writing it down don't mean nothing, just like
nothing
you said earlier, you know, how they did it with the Indians. The Indians didn't understand the language, so what difference did it make by writing it down? You know,
whatever was on the treaty was going to get signed. Okay.
Exactly. You know, and it was just those types of things, you know, that they could do just because they were in ultimate power, you know. And I think sometimes too that has intimidated us to a point of inaction per se.
Yeah, and a lot of us have become discouraged because we just feel like, well, our efforts are, you know, just in vain, so why do we bother? They're going to always have the upper hand. They're going to always have the upper hand, so why exert the effort? But I'm, you know, feeling like we can turn the tables if we truly, truly just work together collectively, come together collectively and get in there and start doing what needs to be done. And I am in agreement with all three of you kings. I've been very appreciative of the dialogue so far this evening between you three, so thank you for that.
No, Queen, we need you in there, because to be honest with you, Martin Luther King would have never sat down with Malcolm X if it hadn't been for one person.
Mm-hmm.
That was Coretta Scott King.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know,
she's,
I know,
the reason why they ever even talked with each other. When Malcolm X reached out to her because he couldn't get a response from Martin's people.
from him.
So he
yes.
reached out to her.
Mm-hmm.
So we
mm-hmm.
have to, like, here's my issue. Anytime the government is giving us something, it's to placate. It's never to fix the situation.
Right.
It's to placate. And the government is the one that gave that holiday up. So
yeah.
I have my issue with the holiday is the fact that this was something the government did. Now, this was to them. This is why they, when they look at us talking about getting reparations, they look at that holiday. They look at Obama. They look at the late 60s to early 70s and some of the concessions
mm-hmm.
they felt they gave us. No, all you did was open the gate for us to become the same kind of debt slaves that you got these white people on.
Right.
And for us to buy into the illusion that we're full-blooded Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
an illusion.
Yeah.
It's a fucking illusion. That's why I can't buy into it. I can't celebrate your holiday. I can't buy into the little bones that you throw on the ground for us. I can't buy into those because they're hollow. They don't mean nothing. It's a waste of our time and a distraction for us.
Right. I
and
totally
that's
agree
the
with
issue
you on
that,
that
I have with it.
Mm-hmm. No, that's, I totally
what
agree.
Do they want us to celebrate the worst shit that happened to us the way they want us to celebrate it.
Mm-hmm.
Who the fuck celebrates being told 2 years later that you're free?
Yep. I am.
But yet they fought to keep Columbus Day on, and he was a slave. Look, the slave, they don't even want to remember slavery, but they want us to honor those who wanted to keep it in as a practice.
Yeah.
There's never been a question about Columbus Day. There's never been questions about any of them slave days, because that's what they are. Remember slavery, you guys. President's Day. Well, who do they show you? Oh, money. They don't show you Grover Cleveland. They don't show you Lyndon Johnson. They show you the slave owners every year.
Yeah.
We're in that. It's about to come up again now. Why is it that the month they give us is the same month that we have to keep seeing the same crackers' faces on money? We got to see it all month. George Washington Day sale, President's Day
yeah.
sale. You know, I don't hear them promoting our month the same way.
Yep, a constant reminder.
And we're tropical people. How we wind up with February anyway?
Yeah, I feel like you know all these holidays they're giving us. 24/7.
My man.
Yeah.
Every day is a good day for a barbecue. Okay.
Excuse me, sis, for interrupting you like that. My bad. But if you look at any day on the calendar, you can find something black to celebrate.
Something we did.
And that's something that's something that our children aren't privy to, and that's something that we should be teaching our children. You know, like brother said, we don't have to quote unquote celebrate these days that they quote unquote give us. You know, we celebrate when we want to. That's taking the power back from them. You know, you don't have the power to tell me, oh, this is the day I can relax, this is the day I can party, this is the day I can be off. You know, a lot of people don't realize that during the whole so-called Christmas holidays, that's when a lot of the slaves were escaping the plantation because their workers were off. So they was able to find, you know, windows to, okay, this is the time I'm going to escape. You know, so, you know, the day after New Year's Day, I think January 2nd, that was the supposed day that, you know, that would be the slave's day off, where we could basically do what we wanted to do except for escape. But before that time, during that time, that's where most of the escapes happened. So, you know, my thing is, right, just because you gave us some symbolic day, it doesn't mean anything. you know, the whole, the President's Day, all the presidents that we celebrate, you know, the so-called founding fathers, they owned slaves. Why the hell would I want to celebrate them?
Exactly.
You know, so it's a
See,
lot
I knew
of,
you agreed with me, man.
Thinking that goes into that. No, I mean, I agree with you, bro, but my thing is I don't agree with shitting on those that actually deserve to be honored, you know. But, you know, my thing is that, you know, it is what it is. You know, if it happened, it happened. But my thing is that you won't ever hear me out here, you know, downplaying, you know, what happened. And the main thing about it is that they showed, because it's in their documents, that they didn't want to see the rise of a black messiah, somebody that could lead. And the government had a hand in Martin Luther King Jr.'s assassination. The New York Police Department had a hand in Malcolm's assassination. And all of that's documented, all of that's true. So, you know, basically, you know, this government has always worked against us coming together. And our job is to find a way around that. You know, and people should be prepared because, you know, it's going to take some violence. It's going to take some bloodshed to get out of this thing. And if you're not willing to do that, and I'm not out here throwing wolf tickets, I'm just being real about it. If you're not willing to go there, hey, we're going to be in the same place 50 years from now. And on that, I yield.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not disagreeing or agreeing with anyone or anything. Everything coming out of my mouth is just, that's kept, you know. I'm not wording it right. I might not be wording it right. I don't know. Maybe I can't, because to me, you know, when it comes to communications, there's two important parts, the sending and receiving that message. My thing, like I said, my viewpoint on it, it's just my viewpoint. It doesn't, like I said, doesn't take away from anything good anyone did or anything that they were as a person. Not expecting perfection out of anybody, you know. What I look at is the hypocrisy that comes with these so-called celebrations, and I think that's a big part of the nightmare. Because, you know, the thing about celebrating something is to think of the good that did, the needle it may have moved, the people who might have been helped, whatever. And I don't take that away from anyone who stuck their neck out there, because it doesn't matter what you do in your personal life. If you're willing to stick your neck out there, that's for me, that's heroic shit.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a lot of people. So to be, even if you're wrong on why you're doing it, at least you're still trying. I'll give you that. However, when we're told how to celebrate something or when we can celebrate something by the same people who created a situation that was nothing to celebrate for us, then I'm sorry, but my skeptical hair is going to stay up, because the person trying to enslave you has no interest in freeing you. So the workaround for them was, how do we keep them enslaved without it being chattel slavery? And the way that was, well, let's let them think that they're like us. And a lot of us have been trapped in that thought process, and we still are. That's why, you know, three women can come up with the Black Lives Matter movement, not do a goddamn thing in any of the communities other than protest, get millions, hundreds of millions of dollars donated, still not do anything in the black community, and then sue the mayor of D.C. for putting it in the street to piss off our racist president. Is that the world we're living in? Is that what we're going to be celebrating when they get their day in 100 years?
Yep, exactly. And I guarantee that when a Republican president comes in, they're going to pave that over. They're going to paint that over.
I know they are.
But with that being said, one of the reasons we stay in this quagmire is because it's only a minority of people, you know, that follows this movement. Brother, how many times have we had to call out people who claimed that they were Black Panthers or following the Black Panthers back in the day and find out that they was full of shit?
You know, shit, I had some try to come at me that same way.
Right. You know, I was a Black Panther. No, back if you look at it back in the day, people were scared to follow the Black Panthers and what they were doing. It was a minority of Black people that were involved in the movement.
Look.
Yeah.
I'm gonna in fairness, I'm gonna shit on the Black Power movement real quick. I'm gonna shit on the Black Power movement real quick because I think that's how it was taken what I was doing earlier with Martin, but I wasn't. I was pointing out the duality. But let's take it to the Black Panthers for a minute. Aaron Dixon did carry out. And I saw the documentary recently. I was actually talking with my brother Corey about it earlier today. And in that documentary, I remember how much heat I got because I had talked about how the Black Panthers had a group of young men whose job it was to discipline the other Black Panthers. And the way that they were doing this discipline was with a whip. Yes, a fucking whip. And yes, if a particular story was Aaron Dixon and Elaine Brown traveling back from back to Oakland, I think from L.A., and they get into a conversation. The conversation gets a little heated. Aaron and her, she cursed at Aaron, and Aaron cursed back. For doing this, Aaron Dixon, when he after they arrived, a couple of days later, a couple of brothers lured Aaron Dixon to come in and hang out with them, and then they wound up in a room while they're talking. One of them punches Aaron Dixon in his face, which started a pile-on of about five people punching and kicking the shit out of Aaron Dixon. That was one incident. The other incident, which bothered me even more than that one, this was where there were certain chores and things that needed to be done. When those chores weren't done, there were disciplines handed out. He wound up having to take the equivalent of 20 lashes with a whip. Now, I loved reading and you know, doing research about the Black Panthers. I'm not going to lie. That part sucks to me. Because if you were fighting for freedom of your people, then why do you adopt the disciplines of your enslaver? So, in fairness, now there's a shit patty for the Black Panthers and a shit patty for Martin. Now we're back to being equal again. And what I'm trying to say is, nobody's going to be perfect, but I feel like everybody that sticks their neck out should be celebrated.
Absolutely.
Ozzy, Corey, Tamisha, everybody should be celebrated for sticking their neck out in harsh environment, trying to feed your families and to go to work and not kill nobody and to go in that store and hope nobody kills you. And all the shit we got to tote with us every day, we all need to be celebrated.
You're right about
that's
that.
Just that right now, mm-hmm. We don't have a damn thing to celebrate.
To celebrate. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, they keep throwing us these damn crumbs.
Thank
these
you.
These holidays, I feel like it's like
bread out of it.
Yeah. these holidays they give us, you know, just to tease us. Like, you know, here, nigga, damn. That's how I feel like they're doing when they give us these holidays. So, like you said, Melvin, celebrate our accomplishments just within our communities.
Right.
Forget about them. We don't need them to honor us and celebrate us at all. And we don't need them for anything.
We need to create our own holidays.
We all know that. We keep,
We just need to create our own holidays and celebrate them without apology.
Mm-hmm.
Make it to, because all, you know what's going to happen? They're going to see how much fun we have on those days. And then they're going to want to take those too.
Just like everything
like
else.
Do everything,
Thank you. But, I mean, we need to go all out. We need to not go to work on May 19th. We need to celebrate Mountain that weekend. It's things we need to do as a collective so that they know they got to write us off for them days because, you know, we need to be like how was it, what was it, the Vietnam with that shit? What was that, the day that they actually attacked and they were supposed to be the holiday, but they wound up attacking, which was a turn in the Vietnam War. I can't think of that holiday that they celebrate, but it was that was the turning point because rather than go celebrate their holiday, they attacked the American troops all over Vietnam and cut the country in half.
Was it Chinese New Year or something like that?
What is it?
I think it was a Chinese New Year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, matter of fact, no, because it's bugging me. And if I don't find out right now, I'll be mad at work all night.
I want to say that might be D-Day.
No.
No,
the day
they
turned
the Vietnam
War.
Holiday, right?
Wait a minute, it's about to come up here now. Oh, here goes the Tet Offensive. The Tet Offensive,
Tet was
the day that they were celebrating, and that's the day that the U.S. troops thought that they had a night off, that they didn't have to worry about shit, and everything changed. Well, we need to be known for celebrating our people with that same fervor, and we need to do it throughout the year. We don't need to let them pick the days. We don't need them to benefit from it or monetize it. And that's where I would love to see us. And I would think we could all get behind that because as much as they tell us, oh, man, black people, all they want to do is party and bullshit. Well, that's a good day to party. And they fought for the right for us to bullshit. So what's up?
Right. Yeah. Seriously, there are so many.
That's my thinking on it. And it's not like a slap at anybody's what they've done. What I'm looking at is not what they've done, but what are we doing as a result of what they did?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that right there.
Because, our response has been null. And void, you know, for a while now. And, you know, I think, too, like I say, these are the holidays that we, you know, need to start celebrating. We need to create them if they're not celebrated. And, you know, like I say, teach our children, grandchildren, you know, the reasons why. And who these people are and the importance that they play, you know, because we need a Fred Hampton Day. We need a Medgar Evers Day. We need a Malcolm X Day. We need a Fannie Lou Hamer Day. All of these people need to be recognized. Just because they were hated by this system doesn't mean that we've got to forget about them, hate them, and despise them too, you know, because the things that they fought for and died for, you know, allowed us all to live just a little bit better. And not many of us that are walking around right now are willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. And see, that's the difference between this generation and that generation, because you had 90% of them were willing to make the ultimate sacrifice, you know, because times were different for one, but nowadays that same 90%, we can't even get together collectively to boycott, you know, and that's something else that Martin did and did well was that Montgomery boycott, you know, and I always brag about that because honestly, he used their game against them. He simply
all day.
He simply took what they loved away from them, just like they had been taking what we loved away from us for all them years, you know, and made them realize just how important our dollars were, you know. And with those dollars, they also wanted the respect, which, you know, we still don't get. But that's another story. Excuse me. Yeah, that's another story. But, you know, I mean, we got to just, what we can't do and what we can't afford to do is give up and just not do anything,
right.
You know, because doing nothing makes us complicit. And a lot of us
all
are
day.
Complicit. You know, a lot of us are complicit because we, like you were saying earlier, Kevin, you know, yeah, as long as we don't get active, what's not at our doorstep is what I used to always say, what's not at our doorstep, it has a better chance of getting there as if I'm not doing anything to prevent it. And prevention, you know, that's the key to really to our survival, preventing the things that are happening to us collectively. And that should be our focus. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say the things that are, yes, keeping us from being able to progress forward. So yeah, I knew where you was going with that. And if we just really pay attention, you know, they got all these distractions going on. That was something that was just really heavy with me the other day, is how so many are so distracted by what's going on social media. And a lot of the stuff that's going on social media, to me, is fake. It's fake. It's just a facade. And it's really taking our focus away from the true issues at hand. So I, too, have... Yeah, not been on social media much at all. I mean, I've hardly been on it at all because every time I get on it, you know, there's nothing on there that's of benefit. There really isn't. I don't see anything on there, you know, that really just pertains to the true issues at hand that we need
right.
to be focused on.
We have to understand how being on their platforms and how the algorithms work. Even if you have a YouTube channel, the algorithms are basically to promote white channels and white thought. The algorithms don't favor us at all. And, you know, I can remember growing up and my grandmother had a calendar that had, you know, black achievements for every day of the year. And I haven't seen that calendar in so many years, but, you know, my blackness comes from the roots. I let people know know, because, you know, my grandparents were the first ones to have that picture of Dick Gregory running for president. And, you know, that touched my young mind. I was like, who's this black man who's running for president? You know, and, you know, they had the pictures of Dr. Martin Luther King and, you know, even, you know, Kennedy. But then I was puzzled with the white Jesus picture. I said, hold on, you know, why we got the white Jesus picture here? But, you know, I was just starting to learn, so it was confusing to me. I didn't realize until I got older, you know, that, yeah, you know, we've been lied to on many fronts. You know, so even though we're at war, you know, the war is coming from many fronts. And I don't know if you all have noticed, but, you know, back in the day of Martin Luther King, when he was telling them that we're coming for our check, America's excuse was, we're fighting this war right now. We don't have the resources to do that for you black people. Circa 2023, black people, we're coming for our check. America's excuse is, we're fighting this war right now.
I was just going to say that same thing. That's the same excuse.
to be bothered with what you people want. And my thing is that, you know, we still have to be adamant about going at them about, hey, you owe. We're not begging. They owe us. Don't look at it as begging. Look at it as if we are owed. They broke the treaty. We didn't break the treaty. They broke it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time to pay up. This is a blood debt. Remember that. It's a blood debt. So it's generational. We shouldn't look at it as any other way. And the people that are out here speaking against it are the people that won't benefit from it.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only is it a debt,
if a minority
that we pay, that should be paid with interest. In my opinion,
there's a minority of white people that want to see us succeed. If it was a majority, it would have been done already. So everybody missed me with the post-racial nonsense. Yes, there are some white people that agree with what I'm saying right now, but it's not enough of them.
Yeah.
The majority of white people love seeing black people on the bottom. And I think if more people put that into their heads, then more of our people will be on board with seeing us succeed. And I want the people that are actual African immigrants, people that disagree with us getting reparations, if you look at it, if the black American succeeds in getting reparations, that's the first domino, because France owed Haiti and a bunch of different African countries. Britain owes a lot of different countries.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them European countries.
You know, if we get it here in America, the dominoes will begin to fall, and maybe then we can start working toward equal justice. And by the way, that black teacher that was just killed out in L.A., it's funny that he was the brother of one of the founders of Black Lives Matter. He was the
right.
brother of one of them sisters. So,
yeah, that brother that they paid
all
to
want,
death.
But there are no coincidences. On that, I yield.
Yeah, I was just reading about that story yesterday, actually, where they tased that brother to death, and yeah, where he's the relative of one of the founders. And I was like, yep, I said they did that for a reason. Did that for a reason. That's just kind of that takes me back to.
And he was a teacher.
Right, exactly. You know, that takes me back
to. He wasn't no criminal. He wasn't a criminal. He was a teacher.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I read the article.
Yeah.
And I was like, then I found a couple of YouTube clips. and they were talking about it, and that's just another one, you know, and so many that happen, you know, you lose track. It's hard to keep up with them. Mm-hmm. Seems like, seems like as soon as you hear about one, there's another one and another one. And then I'm listening to Ain't Shit Joe lying to talking about what he's going to do for black people and the police and all this and that. He, you know.
The black people are Ebenezer, and they should have did them like they did that that New York candidate. They should have turned their back on them. They should have stood up, and they should have turned their back on them.
Yep, exactly. Because I'm like, he in there lying his ass off. He ought to just drop dead.
They would have been mad at me because I might have been the only one, you know, standing up. Just like, you know, when I go to my daughter's game, she used to play volleyball in college before she graduated. And I, when they would do that national anthem, I'd be sitting down, chilling. Mm. People be looking at me like I'm crazy. Like, the fuck I'm standing up for? Fuck that national anthem. It ain't for me. It's not about me. So why am I stand up for it? Excuse my French, but, you know, I'm fired up today for some reason. But I'll land my plane.
No, you good.
Mm-hmm. Brother Kevin got me fired up. I love you, brother. Brother Kevin got me fired up. I love you, brother.
My brother.
That's the thing. We got to stay fired up, too, to get this movement going. We do. We got to stay fired up and try to get others to get fired up, too. That seems to be a little bit of a challenge.
To tell you the truth, I think that's why I've been stopped by cops, and I haven't went to jail yet. And they have caught me as dirty as I come, as they come. I got stopped with no license, no ID. The car is not registered. Everything's wrong, and I've been allowed to drive away. So I already know either they're afraid, inept, or they've been ordered not to bother me because they want to wait and see if I do something big that they can actually smear me with.
Mm.
I just want to let them know. You'll never find a computer with porn on it because I don't own a computer. So keep trying. You know, no. That's really was my point early on, man, is that while I love Martin and everything else, I don't care about them putting this day up as their day. Who the hell, you know, this is where we got into the problem in the first place. They wanted to tell us what to do, how to celebrate, how to fight, how to argue, how to do all of this shit. And we done got so caught up in trying to do it their way that we forgot this ain't our way.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get married the way they get married. We don't bury the way they bury. We don't do the shit they do. That's not our shit. That's why it's unnatural for us. It's truly unnatural. In our culture, we're supposed to take care of our dead and wrap them correctly and bury them so that it feeds the earth again, not burn them. This shouldn't cost thousands of dollars to bury someone. It does. You shouldn't have to pay all of these fees and licenses. Why do I have to give a license to the government for me to get married or to fish?
Hmm.
Why do I have to tell them anything? If I'm free, why am I telling them anything?
And,
you know,
that goes,
so that's my issue with it.
Why?
You know, the slave owner, just because the slave owner, you know, gives me a day off, it doesn't give me a day off from being a slave.
And brother, that goes back to what you said while we celebrating. And with you and Brother Melvin, I agree on that part. You know, what are we celebrating for? And,
right.
You know, it's nothing to celebrate because they still got us behind, you know. They still got us game set.
Still behind enemy lines, man.
Yeah, still behind enemy lines, no matter how you look at it.
Sure.
No matter how you look at it. And now they, you know, they saying that, you know, we got our young people out here dropping dead because they told them they had to take a vaccine that they didn't need. And now they're saying with this new so-called COVID variant that the only people that are susceptible to catching it are people that took the vaccine. It's laughable, brother. It's laughable.
It is. Because they told you the vaccine don't work when they gave it to you.
We've been telling people that.
They said that the vaccine doesn't last but that long, and it don't stop you from catching it. You know what that says to me? That shit don't work. Because here's the thing, man.
If you're gonna tell me
it's gonna weaken, and you're telling me on the second stop it's not gonna stop me from catching it anyway, okay, so then either you're trying to sell me on a lifetime of vaccine, or you're trying to see if you can control me enough for me to take this Gatorade and put it in my fucking body and hope that you're not poisoning me. And I don't know, man. Like I said, my skeptical hairs, oh, man, that's a forest. It's a forest.
Don't drink too late.
No, brother, but look, now they want you to take a vaccine to protect you from the vaccine that you already took.
Thank you. Feeling me now, okay? I need a vaccine. What vaccine do I need to be free? Because that's the only vaccine I'm taking.
That's the only one they ain't come up with, that one for racism.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to feel free enough to run up on the Capitol. That's when I'll know I'm an American. Right now, I don't feel free enough to run down the block.
Right. Somebody will say you stole something. Or somebody will shoot you because they felt like they was in fear of their life. If that's the case, as a black man, I should be shooting every white person that walked by.
I was telling Corey today, if I was about killing all white people, shit, I'd already be about maybe a good 100,000 to half a mil in by now. No. Yep. Shitty work, but it's steady, you know.
We got to be careful though, because the guy that shot the black people up in Seattle, I think it was in Seattle, it might have been old Portland, Oregon, but the guy was an immigrant. He was a black immigrant. He came over here and he just started popping off on black people, talking about he hates black people. So, you know, that's the power of propaganda that gets pumped out all over the world. So I want my black brothers and sisters, you know, just, you know, keep your head on the swivel out here. Keep your head on the swivel. You know, my mother, even 88 years old, she said, you know, it's Martin Luther King's birthday, and she said, you know, I haven't seen much change. And I just looked at her and I said, you're right. You're right, Ma. I said, I'll be 60 this year. And I said, I haven't seen much change. I said, so what's the game? I said, they've been playing a game with us all this time. And she's 88 years old and she's of sound mind and body, thankfully. But she's starting to take to some of my points that I talk about. You see, from that generation. So
yeah,
that,
you know, it's,
that's why
it's relevant.
Brothers and sisters, keep dropping them seeds. The young people going to get it. This young generation coming up, they're not about taking a whole bunch of shit. So we need to keep dropping them seeds. Because there is a light at the end of the tunnel. But we have to keep letting them know what it is and the reality of it. And on that, I yield.
Yeah, I agree. Like I was saying, this is really up to us how quick the tide turns. And the more knowledge, and I say that's another portion of our wealth, is giving that knowledge that we have back to our children so they can give it to their children and their children can pass it on down, because honestly, we got weaker and wiser generations, and we need to give them that knowledge, that strength, like I say, that wealth, so that they can continue this fight mentally, spiritually, and physically, you know, because it's going to take all of that, and then some.
Yeah, emotionally, you know, too. Yeah, don't forget that one. Because it is going to take all of that.
Definitely emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Get your children off these drugs. Stop giving your children these drugs. Really. Let them be of sound mind. Don't let these white schools tell you your children are crazy.
Never do that.
Maybe they're not teaching them the right way. They're not teaching them the right things. Our children get bored in school
because
all they hear about is white man this, white man that. They don't ever hear about how great their people are or the things
exactly.
that their people are doing. And it starts at home. And it starts with the foods that we eat too. We have to give back to our diets.
You know, I love it when you say you disagree with me, and then the longer you talk, the more you realize you agree with me.
Bless you.
That's where we at. It's like they got us communicating wrong with each other anyway. Our whole way of dealing is based on the wrong shit.
Absolutely.
And so it's hard for us to do it the right way because we've never been given the right information.
We haven't been taught the right way how to communicate with one another. That's why it's so difficult to be able to communicate with one another. And there's, the misunderstandings and the miscommunication between one another and misinterpretation and all of that. And all of that is stemming from our emotional traumas. That stems from slavery.
One thing I have learned is to give everybody their space and their time and their patience to figure it out for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
When we read, we don't hear nobody else's voice. We hear our voice when we read.
Right.
Better for us to say it out loud to ourselves rather than to hear someone else say it out loud to us.
Mm-hmm.
That can inspire us. But true motivation comes from within anyway.
From within,
you know,
that's right.
So,
encourage yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, you know, we got to give people that room to figure it out, because that's what we're all doing is trying to figure it out. Ain't none of us got the answer, because if we had it, we'd have gave it up already.
Right. Definitely no handbook, that's for sure.
Man.
Trial and error, lots of that.
Not a pamphlet, not a flyer, nothing. You know? This is true. But, I mean, the day is what it is, and I hope that people take a minute and look at stuff, but I want them to do that 364 other days, too.
Yeah,
by
absolutely.
Their count.
Well, I don't want them to just take the whitewashed version of Dr. King. I want them to look into his entire, legacy, and listen to some of the interviews and some of the other speeches besides the "I Have a Dream" speech.
That's their favorite one.
They never show you the radical side of Dr. King.
Mm-hmm.
He was a revolutionary. You know, he was a revolutionary. No matter what they want to tell you or how they want to talk about him, you know, he was a revolutionary.
That's right.
You know, and yes, he was propped up. He was propped up by the government because he was the safe Negro that they could put in front of the cameras.
Because, see, the problem with being the safe.
America doesn't give anything unless they have something in it for them in whatever agenda they're pushing. See, it was
the problem with being the safe Negro. Just being the safe Negro negates being a revolutionary. They can't exist in the same realm.
No, but you gotta listen, brother. If the only reason they propped him up there is because they had a way to profit. It's about the dollar, the bottom line. They needed to profit off of bringing more people into their economy.
Well, the whole thing about controlling the movement was to control the tempo and the timetable. Everything was always being told it would be taken care of further down the road. We're going to look at this right now. And what this was, how do we control this before it gets out of our control? And Martin Luther King and a lot of those like him who thought the nonviolent and all this other stuff and seat at the table, all of those things sound good, but it was obvious that other people at the table were not listening to anything he was saying. He was there to listen to them and to hear what they had to say, but they didn't hear what he was saying, because if they did, then the way that they dealt with him and us would have been different.
Different, right.
And it wasn't. They pushed everything down the road and nothing got done. Then the next thing you know, what we got? Black exploitation movies kind of showing us how they look at us, how they see us, and that's how we started to see us.
Mm-hmm.
We're not pimps. We're not hoes. We're not drug addicts. We're not none of that. And they slowly did everything they could to turn us into that. And to show the world that that's what we were, even though we weren't. That's not who we are. You know, if I'm right, I believe the motherfuckers who wrote the Constitution were on cocaine. And when I read that document, it's easy to see that they were.
Yeah, they were.
Well, they never included us in the Constitution. And that's why the Constitution needs to be rewritten to include us.
And the fact that they didn't include us in it means every step we make towards trying to be an American is a moot step. We were never included. We were never invited to the party anyway. It's kind of like when back in the day when I would take my black ass up into them Puerto Rican rah-rahs and I got to fight my way out. I ain't Puerto Rican.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, between, you know, that's one of the important things that really needs to be looked at. The rewriting of the Constitution and the policy of benign neglect that's been in place since 1972 when Nixon was in office. Yeah, we'll keep kicking this can down the road, but there's never a point where we find a cliff to kick that can off of, to have movement. So, you know, this is American policy when it comes to Black America. And even now, what I call him, DJ Joe, you know, that's still his policy even today. And people that keep following him, these so-called Black leaders, you know, all of them are safe Negroes. All of them. We have a Black caucus right now that's not worth a damn. You know, and, you know, they all need to be voted out. And when we talk about giving people lashes, I'm with that. Because my thing is we have no power because we can't hold anybody accountable when they step out of line and they speak against us.
Right.
And that's power right there. Kyrie Irving got canceled over a damn tweet.
Yep.
And they wanted him to apologize.
Actually, it wasn't even a tweet. It was a retweet.
Yeah.
It was a retweet.
About a movie,
he was retweeting somebody else
on a platform with Jewish people.
Yep.
And, you know, Bezos, he's still, that movie's still up. If you go to Amazon, you can still look at that movie. And just like the brother said earlier, Brother Melvin said earlier, you know, taking these holidays, you know, the Jewish people, they take a holiday when it's their time. Nobody's left an eye. They take their holidays. I should say the so-called Jewish people, but I don't want to get off on a tangent, you know. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, if y'all haven't seen that movie that Kyrie was tweeting about, you need to go watch that movie. It's some gems in that movie that we need to be aware of.
It's a lot of information.
Yeah, I don't want to get off into that, but yeah, I dropped my little money to see it, and it was worth it.
Yeah,
so
definitely
my
a lot of information
you know,
in it.
Yeah.
Then
so
too,
the same thing's happening today.
That's the true information. That's why they're so mad at Kyrie.
Jerry Jones was at the protest against the Arkansas 9. You know, no, nobody said nothing about that.
Jerry Jones came out
and said his little apology or whatever, and you know, well, yeah, it was a different time then. You know what has changed, Jerry? Ain't nothing changed. We still segregated in America. It's just not on Front Street.
Yep.
You know, so my thing is that once you open your eyes and you see how things work, you can't go back to sleep anymore. You can't. So, you know, a lot of people sitting up here, a lot of our people sitting up here lying to themselves.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say on it. A lot of our people are up here lying to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They want change, but they don't want to put the work in.
Yeah,
they don't want
to
really put the
boots
on the ground.
To make it happen, right. Because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take
Melvin Show should be a national show. Melvin Show should be a national show.
Yep, just like Dr. King
that will give lip service,
and all the people that
really
marched with him back in the day, that's what we got to do, too, to make some change happen. Yeah, we can't just say we're going to do it. We got to definitely be about it. Huh? Mm.
I love my people, but, boy, we got a lot of house cleaning to do.
Yeah, definitely that. We got to really, as far as we've got to get more collective in our thought pattern and in our thought process, more inclusive of one another, and stop being so inclusive of others. We'll put an idea together and not even be inclusive of our own people, but we'll include everybody else. And those are things, like I say, anything that we do is going to be good. Anything that we do is going to succeed. This is just my opinion, because we are masters of everything that we touch.
Yeah, we're just
everything,
so creative, absolutely.
Everything that we have ever come in contact with, that we've ever had to go through, we've conquered it. You know, nothing has defeated us. We have always defeated adversity.
and we've been allowed to survive and live through a lot of adversity. We are resilient people, mm-hmm. and we get that, you know, from our ancestors. We get that from those before us and those who laid the path for us. And that's like I was saying earlier, you know, we've had several great ideas and none of them the same, but all of them really trying to better our condition. And I think that's too, I think that too is what is a driving force still for us today, you know, just trying to better our condition, knowing that we deserve more. And if we know we deserve more, we have definitely got to be willing to make proper sacrifices. And we've got to be willing to give up some of the luxuries, you know, and in order to progress. I got a last minute caller. I'm going to open up his mic real quick. I got about 7 minutes. But yeah, we definitely got to get more involved with ourselves and really truly work for what it is that we need and not so much as what we want. Caller 4953, your mic is open.
You know, you talk about the Montgomery bus boycott, which was between 1955 and 1956. Mm-hmm. The boycott did not end that. Blacks not wanting to ride the bus did not end that bus boycott. What ended the bus boycott was this. That bus line was called the Montgomery City Line. It was owned by the National City Line, which was owned by General Motors, and their president was Arthur P. Sloan. You hear his name today in the Arthur P. Sloan Foundation. At the time, Dwight Eisenhower was the president, and the Highway Act was passed in 1956. Now, this is what went on. Back in those days, they had electric streetcars. All right. General Motors and Rockefeller were Standard Oil. General Motors wanted to put more cars on the road. And, of course, Rockefeller wanted to provide the gas for them. So Eisenhower asked Sloan, being that they owned the buses company, he said, go ahead and end this. And then we will work to get these highways built so you can put more cars on the road and you Standard Oil can have more gas to go in the cars. That's what done that. Because Martin King them, and King was just a orator. They put down 3 points in their negotiation with the officials in Montgomery. 1 point, they wanted courteous treatment by bus drivers. The second point, they wanted seating of Negro passengers from rear to front of bus and white passengers from front to rear on first-come, first-served basis, and no seats reserved for any race. Then, of course, he wanted this, employment of Negro bus operators in predominantly Negro residential sections. So if they was trying to change the hearts of people, they didn't give a damn if blacks had buses in their section or not. Another point. You had members of that movement in Montgomery, in Montgomery Association, and I think it was E.D. Nixon. I know his son, his grandson, Lionel, who's in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to go to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and contact a black-owned bus company called the Safe Bus Company, that was owned by blacks from the bottom to the top, and I think they would have related to Claude Anderson. They wanted them to come and provide bus service in Montgomery, but the Montgomery Association, which was led by Shuttleford and some others in NAACP, they didn't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
See, King did not want, really, he wasn't looking for segregation, I mean integration, because he said that what he said in that demand, that was one example. And then again, we can look at it the other way later on, because Pleasant versus Ferguson back in 1894, I believe it was, said separate but equal was the law. And that's what he's asking for in these demands, separate but equal. Later on in 1964 with the Civil Rights Act, he was looking for acts to change, make them become laws. He wasn't trying to change people's hearts and feelings. Plus, you can't legislate people's hearts and feelings. So this thing about the boycott, blacks not riding the bus, brought it to an end. Well, that's not totally true. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you for making that point, sir.
Good info.
Good, yeah. That's why I try to do these shows, so people can call in and just like that, you know, bring new light onto a situation and bring new information, you know. That's what it's really all about. Sharing information and
the knowledge and the wealth, that's right.
But, yeah, I got 3 minutes, and I'm fixing to close out. I want to thank everybody for calling in, and I want to thank the gentleman that just called in, like I say, to drop that jewel. Appreciate my brother Ozzy, my brother Kevin. Appreciate your sister Tamisha for joining me. Also, want to thank everybody that called in and listened. Want to also thank those of you that listened online. Also, my overseas listeners, my ActivateMedia.org listeners who will get this broadcast on Friday. But I appreciate you all listening. This is why I do it. I'm going to get off of here like I always say in closing. Let us plan, organize, and unify, because we all have a key. I'm out. I'm going to try to jump back on here next Monday and get back on my Monday shows. But I, like I say, appreciate you all. I'm out. Peace, power, and love.
Let me say, as I've always said, and I will always continue to say, that riots are socially destructive and self-defeating. I'm still convinced that nonviolence is the most potent weapon available to oppress people in their struggle for freedom and justice. I feel that violence will only create more social problems than they will solve, that in a real sense it is impractical for the Negro to even think of mounting a violent revolution in the United States. So I will continue to condemn riots and continue to say to my brothers and sisters that this is not the way. Continue to affirm that there is another way. But at the same time, it is as necessary for me to be as vigorous in condemning the conditions which cause persons to feel that they must engage in riotous activities as it is for me to condemn riots. I think America must see that riots do not develop out of thin air. Certain conditions continue to exist in our society, which must be condemned as vigorously as we condemn riots. But in the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard. What is it that America has failed to hear? It has failed to hear that the plight of the Negro poor has worsened over the last few years. It has failed to hear that the promises of freedom and justice have not been met. And it has failed to hear that large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than about justice, equality, and humanity. And so in a real sense, our nation's summers of riots are caused by our nation's winters of delay. And as long as America postpones justice, we stand in the position of having these recurrences of violence and riots over and over again. Social justice and progress are the absolute guarantors of riot prevention.